fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue our journey through St. Peter's first letter, and hopefully before the week's out, we'll get into his second letter as well. As we move our way through Lent and as we approach the Passion of our Lord just around the corner and the celebration of it, it's important for us to be able to hear the teaching of the apostles, those who walked with Jesus through the Passion and had the truth about themselves revealed and exposed in the midst of that great, as Jesus called it, the hour of darkness, the intense spiritual battle that took place as Jesus went out of obedience to the Father, to the cross. As you go through this year, friends, as you make your way to the celebration of the Triduum, remember I talked about a few weeks ago that beautiful passage in John's Gospel, chapter 14, particularly verses 30 and 31. Jesus is giving his final discourse. He's at the Last Supper with the apostles, and he's really giving him, he knows it's the last time they're going to be able to be together. And his heart is heavy, and he wants them to understand what's about to unfold. And he says to them, I won't be with you much longer. They're kind of shocked and surprised. Here they are celebrating the Passover. It's a big celebration. It's a joyful meal, a bonding meal. And right, you know, at some point in that meal, Jesus said, we won't talk like this much longer. Could you imagine the silence that hits the room like, Jesus, what are you talking about? And then he said, the devil's coming after me. He's saying, so something is about to change. And the battle for which I've come into the world is about to unfold. Satan's coming after me, and he's coming after all of you. And he said, but remember, Satan has no hold on me. It's the way of Jesus saying, look, what's about to unfold is meant to be. I'm in charge. Don't be afraid. But remember this, everything that you see me do, he said, I'm doing everything the Father commands me to do. It's all the will of the Father. And the reason I do it, brothers, is because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. That's the only place in the entire Gospels, all four Gospels, where Jesus verbally expresses his love and motivation for the Father and all that he's doing. Of course, his whole life is that expression, but it's the most intimate moment of verbalizing his heart. And he wanted the brothers to know before literally all hell broke loose, so that they understood, they could understand, even after they fell, even after they ran, they could circle back by God's grace at some point and be able to lay hold of what Jesus told them, what it was all about. So as we approach the celebration of the Triduum and Holy Thursday and Good Friday, friends, let's hear the word of Jesus spoken to each one of us personally. He wants you to know that the reason he went to Calvary, he went there to obey the Father. And he's teaching you and me how to live. And he's telling us there is no better way to live, no more important way to live, no truly valuable way to live, no more fulfilling way to live than to obey God no matter what the cost. And remember what he said, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you. I'm praying in my own life and for my family, my kids, and you, the listeners, that all of us would be able to internalize that teaching more fully and come to terms with the fact that Christianity is a personal call to discipleship. And to be a disciple of Jesus means we follow in his footsteps and that everything he told us we know is going to be true. And as Peter teaches in the letters we've been looking at, he said, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that's coming upon you. This Jesus told us. To follow me will cost you. Most of us in America have lived a Christianity without cost. That's changing. There's something wrong with that. I mean, it's not like there's something we should run from. This is a time we're called to be witnesses and to be faithful to Jesus. And the Lord's going to prune us and he's going to detach us from our love for the world. He's going to detach us from the opinions of men, the bondage that we have to wanting constantly the approval of others, to be liked by everybody, to live a comfortable life. we're entering in a time where that's probably not going to be possible if we're going to live the way Jesus calls us to live. A compromised Catholicism will be without cost. As long as we say yes, as long as we don't emphasize the things about our faith and how we live and how we share our lives and what we stand for, as long as we don't do that, stand for the things that the world doesn't like, and if we just keep our mouths shut and stay hunkered down in our little corner, we'll probably be able to live a pretty cost-free life. But that's not what the Lord is setting up. That's not what is unfolding in the world. So the teaching of the apostles is something that we really ought to take to heart, especially as we move and meditate on Holy Week and especially Holy Thursday and Good Friday. So today, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 9, Peter says, "But you're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's own people." These are all images that Peter used earlier in the chapter that have references in the Torah, the Jewish scriptures, where God formed and shaped a people, his chosen people, the people of Israel. They're a foreshadowing and a real call that God placed on them to be the first that he was calling out of the world to become his own possession, to belong to him, to be distinctly his. And it's from that people that the Messiah has come forward from, in fulfillment of the prophetic word to Israel, the people of Israel, that they were to become a light to the nations, the light to the Gentiles. They were to become a light to the non-Jewish world, which is the vast majority of humanity. And what does it mean that they're the light? The light means that Jesus Christ, light of the world, the Messiah of the Jews, was to come forth and to bring salvation to the whole world, to bring the world from darkness to light. And that's what's happened. He's the star of the people of Israel. He's their Messiah, even though many Jews don't, in our time, acknowledge him. Verse 9, "But you're a chosen race." Okay, you're a new race of people. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, Scripture said. And you're a part of a people. It's not just a me and Jesus, but we're a part of God's people, the people that God has founded in the earth and established in his church, right? And are united together in baptism, this new race of people that are chosen by God. And you're chosen to be a royal priesthood. It was a theme Peter touched on yesterday. To share in the kingship of Jesus. Jesus is the king who sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's come to establish his kingdom. And his kingdom is the kingdom of the people of God that he establishes, who he shapes and forms and leads us to right worship with God. We're a people distinctly formed and shaped by him to be a people in the earth that acknowledges God, that offers God right sacrifice, that puts God at the center. There's a constant tension in the world. Being a Christian, and Peter would say, living in exile here, an alien in the world. Sometimes I feel like an alien when so much of the world is constantly calling us to sort of bend our knee and to exalt the greatness of what we are and what we create with our own hands with no reference to God whatsoever. I mean, we're just clearing the field of any reference of God at all. And that ought to really make us feel strange as Christians, because we're a new thing, we're a new reality, we're a new creation, and literally the Spirit of the King has been given to us, and that Spirit is in us crying out all the time, "Abba, Father." The love of God has been poured into our hearts, St. Paul tells us, and that Spirit is at work making us a new creation, and at the core of that Spirit is a power leading us to acknowledge the Father and to give praise to him. So that priesthood is not just a fancy sort of label or something. It's a description of a reality. Jesus offers sacrifice to the Father, and that's what we ought to be doing, making our whole lives a living sacrifice to God, the apostles will tell us. He goes on to say, you're not only a chosen race and a royal priesthood, but you're a holy nation. God has set us apart to be holy, to be like him, and that what would characterize our life as believers is the visible reality that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're a people on mission, fulfilling the great commission to go make disciples of all nations. That's what this holy nation is all about. And by God's mercy, hopefully we're making a break from sin, we're on the way, and we're allowing the Lord to conform us to his image. And finally, we are God's own people, not because of anything great in me. God has come to save the sick. He has come to seek and save the lost. That's the whole world, friends. That's us. God has chosen us. Then he said, all this God has done so that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Beautiful passage. Why are you a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people? He's made you his own and set you apart and done this work in you and given you the power you need to go forward into this world and to declare the wonderful deeds he's accomplished. The deed that we'll celebrate, friends, on Easter, Good Friday, the salvation of the human race. We declare it because we know that in that deed, Jesus has brought us from darkness to light, into the marvelous light of God. That's what, remember, in Acts 26, St. Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he's giving testimony to what happened to him on the road to Damascus when Jesus was revealed to him. And Paul states so clearly what Jesus called him to do. He said that the Lord told him, I'm sending you to open their eyes, that is to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish world in particular, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the heart of the mission of the church right there, friends, to lead us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. That's the same reality that's in the world right now. If you're not baptized into Christ, if you have not responded to the light that he's shown to you, if you don't know him, you're walking in darkness. Peter goes on, verse 10, once you were no people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here we are in the year of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is the forgiveness of our sins. Mercy is being brought from darkness to light. Mercy is being lost and without hope in the world, alienated from the promises of God, and being brought right into the heart of that promise. And by Christ's power, being able to become children of God, to be God's own people, to have hope for eternal life, and a share in what belongs to Jesus. That's the mercy of God given to us. No one deserves it. Not a single person. Friends, the world constantly plays on us and tries to seduce us into giving our loyalty and our interest and our passion and our time and our talent and our treasure to everything but the King and his church. This is a season of Lent. It's a season of spiritual combat. Let's fight for this truth that Christ has given to us. Amen. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.